Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Starfield Raw. This is episode number 37, and I am joined by my amazing fellow co-host, my fellow professional nerd, Rook.
What's up, everybody?
You really had to do that, didn't you? You were sitting on that.
Yes, I actually was.
So we have a bit of housekeeping to get into. It's time for some serious time. It's not bad news. Well, no, it depends on your point of view.
I wish we had the weakest link, or not the weakest link, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Right. I could add that in. So, as you can tell, Archon is not with us again. He is actually going to be bowing out of the show, at least for a while. He's got a lot going on in his home life, and we fully understand. He's going to continue with Raw and Nerdy. Mm-hmm. He's still a part of the trio, for sure. He said he is going to come back on and guest periodically. So, the good news is, we do have an open spot for a host. So
Yes.
We might bring on people as temporary, or there's a couple people I wouldn't mind bringing on as a full-timer.
There's a couple of them out there.
Yeah. Reached out to both of them about that potential. So we'll see how that goes. It depends on their real life. They got some things going on.
The downside to recording the show when we do is record it in the middle of the week. So that is typically, if you're a churchgoer, you got Sunday services and kids got practices and stuff. So we understand if you can't make it.
But this show is continuing. That's the good news. Rook and I are going to hold down the fort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can't guarantee an hour-long show or even a 40-minute show, but we are going to do our best to bring you the best content we can each and every week. And the other good news is that a third show for Raw Podcasts is in the works.
I'm so excited for this one.
We're not going to tell you guys yet what it is. We're narrowing it down and getting the design plans taken care of. Mm-hmm. And once we have it set, we will let you all know what the new show is going to be, when it's going to air, and all that good stuff.
So, yes, sirree, Bob.
Another show for me to edit. But we're going to do it in a way where I can edit during the week, so I don't have to just do it that night of recording, so it'll be a lot easier. That is the big things going on. Again, Starfield Raw is not going anywhere. Rook and I have our Can't Wait to Celebrate episode 52. Our one-year episode, which is going to happen a little bit later than 1 year because of the break we had to take during the holiday break. And then, yeah, so it'd be about two episodes later, about a month after we started the show. No, 2 weeks after we started the show.
Yeah.
But that's fine. And, yeah, that's it. So Archon, he's on Raw Nerdy still. He'll be on the new show, and he'll pop in every now and then to say hi and join the show for here and there.
We're going to miss you while you're not here, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really. But I understand what he needs to do. I get it completely.
Yeah.
We have busy lives and we're single.
I know. And he has a family and a very busy job.
So I get it. Mm-hmm. And I still absolutely love recording with the three of us on Sunday nights when we do Raw and Nerdy. So I look forward to that every week. And his new show I'm super excited about. So we'll get into that when we get more info to release to you all.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's going to be a good one if we go by the ideas we threw around.
Yeah, both of them would work.
I know, right? I think the most recent idea would probably be the most entertaining, though.
Especially for us, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of content to go through, a lot of upcoming content. It would be fun, a lot of fun. Especially because we could actually do it all three at the same time, too.
Yeah, we could, because we could run the show while we're doing it.
I don't know about that. That is really, really tough to edit.
That is one of the ones where I would have to really crack down and actually start focusing on video recording, so that way I could actually post it to YouTube.
Yeah, we gotta, there's something else we gotta talk about after the show regarding Raw and Nerdy and YouTube. But anyway, let's get into the actual show, the meat and potatoes. So Rook, you weren't really able to play this week, right?
No, I have been on 12-hour days, and with an 80-minute round-trip commute, I'm looking at 13 and a half hours usually. So it's get home, eat, wind down for an hour, and go to bed.
Okay, I think you're forgiven. That's okay. I did get some playtime in. And some interesting little thoughts as I do my playtime. And as you guys know, I've been doing a new game plus, 5, I believe. Yeah, because I'm on the Starborn ship 5. So that is a good indicator. And really? I went right into skipping the story, and I went and started the Great Power Run. And you guys who've done this a few times know what that is and how grinding it can be. the power run is rough, especially when you skip the story, because you do the first half of all the artifacts, do all the powers in one long spurt, then you go do the base, the hidden temple, and then you do all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all it is. You go talk to Constellation, they tell you where they're at, you go grab all the artifacts, which takes maybe 30, 40 minutes, an hour depending, and then it takes like 3 or 4 hours to get all the powers. It takes 20 minutes to do the temple, and another 4 hours to do. But I don't want to skip. I mean, you can go through a Unity one playthrough in about 45 minutes if you don't get the powers.
Yeah, it's really fast.
But I want to get the powers. Like, I was so excited on the first half of this power run. I got my Cent Star Stuff 6.
Oh, nice.
And I was trying that baby out, and it lasts forever. And with,
that's awesome.
I also have the yours and mine favorite one.
Personal Atmosphere?
Yes, I have that at rank 6. And it lasts so long that my power completely refills before it even runs out. So I can just spam it.
Dude, if you're running around and exploring, you never have to empty your inventory.
You don't. You can just keep going and going. I use it for the temple run, because you have to run 15 miles to get to the temple.
Holy cow.
For some reason, my ship likes to land as far away as possible and still be within, visible range.
That is something I've noticed. The bigger your ship to the 80-meter mark, the further you park away from places.
I'm using the Starborn ship. I didn't even get a new ship on this run. I just grabbed the Starborn and just ran. I still use the Starborn suit, and I have 3 weapons.
Have you had the issue where you will get out of your ship and it will spawn you like further away from your ship's landing point in the base?
No.
I've actually had that happen. I'll land at a base, and when I get out, I'm running towards the base and my ship.
Oh, jeez. So, I guess Sarah got pissed off of you and kicked you right out of the ship when you were landing?
No.
You're going to walk, mister.
No, I think I made Andromeda mad.
Oh, it'd be Sam this time, though, right?
Sam on a bounty hunter. Andromeda is one of the people I have on my newest explorer.
One thing that was getting on my nerves is that every time I was doing one of the power runs for the quest, when I would find the temple or I get the power and it would update. No, sorry. Let's reverse that a little bit. It's when I went to Vlad to get the location of the temple and it updates to the new location, right? Mm-hmm. Every time I did it, it would switch to the other main quest automatically. So I had to go back in and switch back to the power run quest and then do that. It happened to me constantly. I actually advanced the story on accident because I went to that spot thinking I was on the going for a power.
I think that's a setting you can change.
Yeah, maybe. I'll have to look into that because I don't like it when it keeps on switching to the main story all the time.
Yeah, mine was doing that, but there's a setting I believe that I changed that makes it where it doesn't automatically activate any quest. I have to manually activate it.
That's what I was wondering. Okay, that's good. I'll have to look into that. One good thing that happened, though, is during this power run, I had an instance where it kept updating new temples after I finished each one of them and did this 6 in a row. I didn't have to go back to Vlad.
Oh, that's nice.
That made me so freaking happy. And then I had to eventually go back to them, but then I got two more in a row. Huh. And it was several before I was done with it.
Weird. You didn't have to go back to them to get those, though.
Yeah. I wasn't complaining.
No. With how grindy that is, that's actually a very beneficial bonus.
It is literally my least favorite part of this game, having to do the power run. I dread it. I want the power updates, but I don't want to have to. What makes it bad is the fact that you have to go back to Vlad each and every time, get the new update to where the power is. Then when you land, you have to run miles to get to the temple. Without those two little details, like if it auto gave it to you, that would be amazing. And when they introduce ground vehicles, it could actually make the power run fun. Getting on like a speeder bike, going through the terrain to get to the temple, that would be a freaking blast.
Jumping, and all of a sudden you're jumping up over the temple.
Okay. Yeah, because you're going on all these different planets with different terrain, with different gravity. That would be so much fun.
Yeah,
it's like
have
a bike, you know, come off your ship and get on that bad boy and just book it.
Well, if you look at a lot of the docking bays, the landing bays, when you go in there's a big enough space. They could just have it sitting right there. You just jump on it and haul butt outside of your ship.
Yeah. Or have like a 4-wheel vehicle so you and your boo can go for a ride.
a little nice little Star Trek side by side with a gun on it.
Yeah.
have her sitting in the back, start shooting random things.
One of the funny things that happened during this little the six in a row thing is every time I went to a planet, I got into a space fight.
Every single time.
Every single time.
That's crazy. And I hadn't even had that.
Sucks when you're using a Starborn ship.
Not the best ship in the world.
And on very hard? No.
And since that's all we play on these days.
Yeah.
Now watch, they're going to update. They're going to release the an update, and it's going to make very hard, actually very hard.
We're going to downgrade it for a little bit and then jump into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I got, I had a lot of, I'd say about half of all the powers I went and got, I had bounty hunters meet me outside the planet.
Bounty hunter?
Yeah.
Actual hunter? Starborn hunters? Or
no, just bounty hunters, because I have the whole bounty hunter perk.
Oh, yeah, you're wanted.
Yeah, I'm wanted. So I just ignore them. I ignore the hail, and I go straight down to the planet, and it's over with. I don't have to deal with them.
Yeah, you can do it quickly. It gives a second before they actually go hostile toward you.
Yep. So use that second to go hit the map, go and land. No problem. So yeah, that was a lot of it. Then I did the Lost Temple, and I only had three weapons, but I wound up having a very, very easy time with it.
What weapons did you have?
The two I primarily use is... I'm having a huge brain fart. My goodness. It's one of my favorite substitutes for a sniper rifle. Beowulf.
Oh, yeah.
Add a high power Beowulf. That's an epic, which gives me the first shot, you know, double damage on full health enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a drum beat. That's
I haven't
also
used one of those yet.
And it has fire and something like corrosive on it. I don't remember exactly, but it chews through their health pretty quick.
Nice.
Those two are the two I use. I have an energy weapon that I just don't use because it doesn't do as much damage as the other two.
Mine depends upon who I'm going up against. If I'm going up against the Ecliptic, I tend to use energy weapons because, if I'm not mistaken, they're weaker against them. But if I'm going up against the Varun, I use projectile weapons.
Yeah. Ballistic.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's why I keep an energy weapon, because it is useful, and it also, mine had extra damage to beasties.
Oh, that's nice. Especially when you're going to a planet and trying to run in a hostile area to a temple.
Yeah, which happens frequently if I can't outrun the herd that chased me recently. Jeez, there
were
like
have
15
that a lot
of them.
15?
Yeah,
that's
chasing
it?
Me. It was ridiculous. I pulled out that drum beat, though, and that was it. And that laser weapon? Yeah.
So, I explore. You know how many times I've... Or Sam, or Andre... not Sam, Simeon. How many times he has actually triggered a massive horde to come after me because he stops and starts shooting everything with his sniper rifle.
Yeah, I can see that. Oh, man. At the end of the temple, I convinced the hunter to give the artifacts again.
When are you going to actually fight him?
I've done it a couple times, but persuading him is so much freaking fun. Especially when manipulation pops up and is how his dialogue changes. I didn't think about that. Here you go.
And poof. Here's what you should do. You should try manipulating him, choosing the hardest options.
Yeah, I should. And I don't even save it. I just do it and go. If I fail, then I fail and I fight him, but...
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting to see what he says on the hardest difficulties, because on the easy stuff, they don't really say too much out of the ordinary.
That's true. I actually picked a +6 one today, and it worked. And then
nice.
It hit manipulation. So it was boom. And I also realized something, because I had to constantly kill Starborn after every temple.
Mm-hmm. That's why it works.
Yeah, and the most useless resource in the game is Quantum Essence.
Why is that?
No one ever uses it. It just increases your Starborn power a little bit.
I've used it a couple of times because it does recharge your Starborn power faster at the early levels. But outside the early levels?
I used it one single time in all my playthroughs, and that was to test it out for the show.
Makes me wonder if they got a plan for that down the road.
I hope so, because you don't get anything from Starborn other than that.
Could you imagine if they took Quantum Essence and made it where you could actually modify your Starborn powers?
That would be freaking cool. There's a winning idea.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, some games you get all these essences and you can modify powers. Why not
do
that?
Going to hunt Starborn.
Mm-hmm. make the hunter become the hunted.
In a hurry.
I know, right?
That was pretty much it for my play. It was just that I'm on the second part of the power run, the last bit of grindy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to jump into Unity, and I'm going to hope and pray I get a good one.
You can do it.
If not, I'm going to repeat the process. There's a couple things in the news that I wanted to bring up. And one of them is there's a player. Let me see if I can get his name.
Jim Bob Roundpant.
I think I would have wrote that down like a smart host. Glow162 on Reddit. And he created a way to basically steal a ship without ever getting a bounty or pissing off your crew. And it's very, very simple. You need a non-lethal weapon. You need a very powerful lethal weapon. hard target. What you do with those two weapons...
Ooh, mag is
you,
shot.
Yeah, that'll work too. You board a ship solo. You knock out the entire crew with non-lethal. Then you go around with your high-power lethal and execute them. Because they're unconscious, it doesn't count towards the bounty or pissing off your crew.
That is evil.
But you got to do it before they wake up. Yeah, you got to do it before they wake up. Otherwise, it'll be a fight and you'll get in trouble. But if you do it while they're asleep, no problem.
So evil. He's an evil genius.
I want to do it.
I got to try this now. My bounty hunter, I don't know if she'd do it.
The moral Kaylin conundrums might, of RP.
Kaylin might do it if it's a pirate ship.
That's fair. I'm wondering if you could actually do this with UC and free starships and get away with it.
And that's a tough one because as soon as you engage them, you get the bounty.
That's true. That's true. Well, at least with this way, you could still do pirates and Varun and everybody else and still not worry about any kind of bounties or any kind of bad consequences with your crew members.
But if he's talking about not getting a bounty, then he's found a way to get on board their ships. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if for the bounty he's talking about, say, like the UC ships that come down and land every once in a while, and you go in there and the guy's fixing the ship or girl. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that, he's talking about ones like that where you can just knock him out and off him.
Well, I'm wondering because if there are no witnesses, you don't get a bounty. So if you do board like a UC ship and all the rest are gone or dead or whatever, and you go in and you take out the crew like this, if it would eliminate the bounty?
Oh, no. That's a good question. It is up for investigation.
It is. That is on the to-do list.
If I remembered to do it.
Right. To-do list, somewhere around here. So there's been something that me and Rook both want to bring up for everybody. And we'll talk about this. You want to mention this?
So there's a lot of speculation if you look online. A lot of people are talking about the reasons why Bethesda has been so quiet and why we don't have any kind of update in April so far. And a lot of people are wondering if they're doing something along the lines of what was it, 77? Cyberpunk 2077? No, Fallout 76.
Yeah.
One of those two games where they did a complete... So Fallout 76 did their overhaul, and so did Cyberpunk 2077. They fixed a lot of stuff.
There's been a few games. Final Fantasy 14.
Final Fantasy 14 is the most notable because they actually did a true overhaul of the game. And there's speculation people are doing... There's a lot of people out there speculating that they're doing more along... That was the game I was thinking of. Final Fantasy 14's overhaul style. And that's the reason why we haven't seen anything coming out in... April for mods, or not mods, updates.
We've been talking about this a bit on the show, about this potential. I brought it up a few times, and I don't think it's going to be a complete overhaul because there's a lot about the game that works.
Yeah.
But I think one of the biggest complaints people have been having is the world feels empty. Universe.
That I was going to say, because I've been to a couple of worlds that don't feel empty.
When I was doing the power run on my own, I felt very alone.
See, my problem is I feel the opposite because of all the abandoned bases that have pirates there. It feels too, that's what I'm looking for.
Well,
too full.
They need actual random spawned towns and villages.
More civilian outpost style stuff. Yeah,
there's none of that stuff because everything you find on the planets is all hostile.
You might find one or two civilian outposts here or there, but...
Oh, yeah, like the drilling places, the mining places.
mining places. I've come across a few just random generated civilian outposts where I can just sell some stuff and keep going.
Yeah, but they're not like towns and villages and stuff like that. People like homesteads.
I would expect something like that closer to the core systems, not far away from the core systems. But I would expect a lot more small towns, small communities, like you're saying. The further away you go, I wouldn't expect it. I expect to be more of the list-style settlements.
Okay, I can see that. But I still think the game needs more cities.
I'm telling you, they just need to revamp the game and do it in Unreal 5. All of a sudden, Bethesda just pulls the game and then comes back out 25 years later with Unreal 5.
Oh, no, let's not do that. So, yeah, I think we're on the opinion that that's a possibility and could be true.
It's the only thing I can think of as the reason why they haven't kept to the schedule they promised everybody.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the creation kit.
I'm surprised that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, it could be because they are doing an overhaul. This is where it gets into the details on it. If they are doing an overhaul, it means that they're changing the API. If they're changing the API, they need to revamp the creation kit, which in turn can delay things, which could also delay Shattered Space by a little bit, because they'll have to fix things in that as well.
Well, if they delay Shattered Space, but they give me more content through updated Creation Club, and they also update the game itself with...
Oh, I'd be all for that. No problem.
Yeah, I can hold off on a little bit on Shattered Space, especially at the Creation Club content, because there's a lot of stuff out there now I would love to see in the Creation Club.
Oh, there's so much that can be done in the Creation Kit. It's gonna change the game. And often for the better, especially with these genius creators out there.
Hey, it's going to change the game. I have not seen one Creation Club / Creation Kit from Bethesda where somebody hasn't gotten a complete game overhaul.
Skyrim has the most popular modding community out there because it's one of the easiest games to work with the API. One of the easiest games to mod.
Makes sense.
So we're kind of thinking it's going to be the same way with Starfield. If that's the case, I'll make one.
I'm waiting for the creation kit to come out because I want to see Starfield turn into Star Wars.
Oh, boy.
Or Fallout. You would.
Yeah, they're Fallout already having, space. People are already working on mods for that.
No,
especially
right.
The popularity of the Fallout show.
It's oh, yeah. Of course. But the Fallout show is just awesome. I haven't watched more of it, but it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to finish the last episode. I need to do that. I got so stuck on a YouTube show, NPC, D&D. Oh, so funny. Anyway.
By the way, this is a great segue into the next segment.
It is.
So, talking about Fallout, we have come up with ideas for future expansions for Starfield.
Yes.
Not Shattered Space. This is like it, beyond Shattered Space. Yeah. So, I have one listed on here. It's called War. War never changes. So, the player goes through the Unity, and the major factions are all surprisingly united to defend against an unknown force. The settled systems are ravaged, and there is devastation from war with some unknown alien species.
What
not
about
human.
If it was Starborn?
That would be interesting. Honestly, I could see them doing something like that.
Bring actual, because, you know, the Starborn have our own ships, their own suits. Why can't they have their own weapons and tech?
Yeah. Why couldn't they come together and unify and change things the way they want to? But then I put the questions, can it be stopped? Will the Varun join in the defense of the settled system? That gives that one a good twist.
Yeah, that would be a definite twist, even if even Crimson Fleet.
Yeah, the player has to go and get the two factions that we fight but never join, never really interact with outside of the Crimson Fleet. To get them to join in the defense of the settled systems. Now, I think that would be...
This kind of idea could bring up some really, really good space battles. Like,
oh,
large
yeah.
scale.
And the game, from all the combats I've seen, would be awesome with large scale space battles.
I've talked about that before. I would love to see something like that. Where they bring in this big old ships with, you know, like the key and space stations. And yeah, there's so many good things they could do with it.
Yeah, they showed a lot of stuff that they could really do. They got the capital ships that you go into a fight with. Just imagine a bunch of those and a bunch of smaller ships. Now, not every system would be able to handle it, but just imagine you're flying into a system and you go to do a quick travel from one planet to the next, and you're pulled into a combat instead of going to the next system.
Okay.
That would be some interesting ways of doing it, too. Because right now, you just fast travel from one planet to the next with nothing really happening in between. But what if it did?
Okay. So far, I'm giving this one a 7 out of 10 on the idea. Mm-hmm. Only because, what about, like, the planetary stuff? What would change? What would be added in that?
Oh, there would be... You would see all types of signs of warfare. This would have to go along with new ways to travel. Make little fighters that you're flying around in, or tanks and stuff, and you're actually in combat.
New styles of ship parts and ship styles, not just mm-hmm. what we have now. You have your fighter and you have your cargo.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that would also be a great way to introduce having
capital
your
ships,
own...
M-class ships.
Yeah, having your own capital ships or mm-hmm. and space stations.
Yeah.
Something we brought up a lot. Okay, you moved up to a 9.
It leaves a lot that you can do with that setup. And it's not just, you can still do some questing, but it's something completely different.
Yeah. I think you're on a good idea right there, buddy. I purposely, I did not read your ideas. I want to just talk about them live on the show. Mm-hmm. I like it. That's actually surprisingly good for your last minute idea.
That was, all right, so everybody knows, I wrote all my notes like in the last 20 minutes before we started the show because I got home and had to jam them in.
He did his first one. And I was like, are you sure that's it, buddy? He's all, yeah, that's all I get to go for now. And I said, as soon as I said, yeah, you'll probably come up with something as soon as we start talking on the show. Oh, I got an idea. 5 minutes before we recorded.
Yep. All right, so which one of yours, sir?
I'll start with my first one. I simply call this one. It's a very, very unique name, by the way. I call it Lost in Space.
It's not a bad idea.
So, the idea behind this one is you jump through the Unity to get stranded in an uncharted system. So you don't have maps to find your way back. So the game turns into a full space survival style simulator with Starfield's story and elements tied into mm-hmm. it. Think of it like the ultimate Starfield simulator. You're actually having to fly your craft, maybe even have to manually dock. You have to worry about fuel, landing, repairs, maybe even spacewalk to do your repairs.
Oh, that actually, would be cool.
And it would bring a lot of actual purpose behind your outposts, where you could even have, let's say that there are some other lost people in here. And if you build your outpost, you can have attract these people that got lost in the same system to build a settlement within your outpost.
Oh, that would actually be really cool because it turns into a settlement builder on top of a survival game.
Yep. The elements are there for that to happen already in the game. They just got to plug it in.
Because this is playing on my favorite aspect of the game. I'm going to give you a 9 out of 10.
I appreciate it, buddy.
So, because you're adding exploration plus survival and a wholly unknown region.
Yep. And it could be just like a simple solar system where you have like 7 or 8 planets.
Mm-hmm.
But you can flesh out those planets completely.
Yeah, you don't have to procedurally generate them.
And the whole goal of this expansion would be to rebuild your ship to where you can actually find your way back or find a chart to get back home. Completing the expansion would be coming back to the known system, which then will open up a way for you to go back to that old system.
Add in like 100 new systems that you can explore trying to find this map to get back.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be too bad.
All right, so we're 2 for 2. What do you got?
Well, my second one plays heavily on yours.
Okay.
But the difference is you're not lost in space. I'm calling it Final Frontier. Instead of being lost in space, you come in and you go to Constellation after going through to Unity, and you get an option. Unity either wants to hire you to explore unknown system, an
Unity
unknown sector of space.
Or UC.
Go back through the Unity.
Oh, okay. Okay, I get you.
And then Constellation hires you to either explore an unknown sector that is nowhere near a part of this, is not a part of the settled systems, or continue with the main game and help them out there. So I like the idea of yours, and this one ties into it because you would be exploring all these systems. You could save up the money from these explorations, build yourself a better ship. Your skills would be very important. I would make the skills, I'd modify the skills a little bit to where it actually helps you locate unknown systems that so you can jump to them at a range. And then you would just travel to them with fuel resources. I'd bring fuel resources back for this. So that way you'd actually have to watch how much fuel you spend.
I think that's like a constant thing that we've talked about is having that system in the game.
That's part of the reason I think exploration is too easy. You don't have to worry about that consequence of landing on a planet.
Fully on board with them bringing that back in.
Yeah, I was surprised when they said, no, we weren't going to do it because it was too difficult. And it's like, not really, because I can land on plenty of planets and find helium 3.
I think most people, and I think most of our listeners would agree, that the game's a little bit too arcadey at times.
Yes, very much so.
So, but, yeah, I can see this. I'm not a big fan of exploring like you are, but I would still enjoy this, especially if they add a new new quests and content for you to do it as well in the new system. Like, you find things that pop up, these natural quests. Like, okay, I found this weird, these weird tracks. I should probably track this down and document it and see what it is, because they look humanoid.
And there'd be a way to add another species, a sentient species, for people to find. So it doesn't feel like all one-sided. You find another species, do first contact and all of that. It adds a Star Trek element to the game.
It does.
Does your Lost in Space.
Yeah.
Voyager out there.
Yeah. That might have entered my mind. Mm-hmm. We're both track fans, so bound to happen. Okay. I approve. I'd probably get that one about an 8.
Okay.
It needs to be fleshed out in some areas a little bit more, but the general concept is right on point.
Yeah.
I like it. Mine is... I didn't have a good name for this one. Sorry, not as unique. Back in Time. And the concept is that when you jump through the Unity, because we've seen in the game that you do go back into, you can go back in time. And then when you're in the Lost Temple, you go through those breaks where you go back in time. But you go so far back, built before your time, to when the last war was occurring between the UC and the Freestar.
Ooh.
And you have to pick a side of either the UC or the Freestar to join forces with them, so you get a whole completely different ending and outcome, or have a way to be neutral.
That would be interesting.
Depending on your choice determines what kind of goodies you'll get. For instance, if you join Freestar, you have the option to become a mech pilot.
That would be cool.
And join that front. If you go UC, you can join the Xeno Warfare and get control over beasties.
Ooh, you get to join the two leaders that... Mm-hmm. Our disgrace in the story arcs. That would be cool.
And get that whole play through it, like to see that story play through. Even though we know the outcome, but you might be able to influence a different outcome in this universe.
I got an add on to that.
Okay.
What if you go back through the Unity? When you go through the Unity again, and you go back to the regular time, and those two people remember.
Are they, and what you did actually influence, like if you go to the hall and you see some of those events had changed based on what you did?
Yeah.
That would be freaking cool. Another thing I thought would be cool is if you could actually visit Londinium before it was destroyed.
That would actually be really cool. Based on the story and the lore you find out about Londinium and everything that happened to it in the UC, going back before that is released by... the UC, it actually would be really cool to see that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because there's some elements in the past that they talk about that would be really fascinating to see. And that this war in particular would be something I kept thinking, like, man, that would be so cool to be able to experience it and actually influence it.
Yeah.
And use the tools of war that they used during that fight.
Mm-hmm.
That would give you a lot more incentive to go back and try it again.
Oh, yeah. What if... This is funny. What if you actually made it to where the back in time one actually has several different time periods that the Uni could send you back to that you're not aware of? Like how right now you got a 15% chance to get an alternate reality. What if you had, say, a 25% chance to get one of four different back in time things, and one sends you back to Earth before the magnetosphere gets destroyed?
The only problem I can think of, I think that would be amazing to have, is the amount of time and effort would be to have to do that.
Well, if we're talking about beyond shattered space, so if shattered space is as big a hit, they could, say, take a couple of our other ideas, work on those while you have a team developing this really epic back in time one.
That's true. It would take a lot of effort, but I think Bethesda could pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
It might not be something we would see like fully fleshed out for another few years at least, but...
I mean, look at what you see from Fallout 76 and their patches, from any of the Fallout patch. They're big, giant games within their own expansion.
Yeah.
So I could see them pulling something off like that.
I think we have four really, really solid ideas.
By the way, I'm going to give that one a 9 out of 10 as well.
So guys, we want to know what you guys think of these ideas. We have War Never Changes, Lost in Space, Final Frontier, and Back in Time. Let us know what you guys think of them in Discord or email, whatever you want to do. Yeah. And we would like to hear what you have to say. And we have a couple, we asked this question. I didn't give many people much time. I only asked a couple hours before we recorded.
We really need to get out of that habit.
Yeah, I need to.
We both tend to do that a lot.
I asked the question in chat. Well, I put it in the wrong spot, for one. I put it in pictures like an idiot.
Oops.
But two people got back, and they had actually really good ideas. Mossy actually came in with his idea right as we were recording, and it's very similar to mine and Rook's two of our ideas.
Yeah.
So, but Illnist, he didn't really give a full-fleshed out one, but he gave his two cents on it. And you remember him, he's the guy that guest-hosted on our last episode. And he said, skins. He wants skins, faction-based, for weapons, suits, and ships. And that and the ability to customize skins as well. We've talked a lot about that, too. And I'm with that.
Yeah, that's probably, out of all the ideas we've had so far, that's probably going to be the easiest.
I want the ability to not only skin your suits, but also, well, craft different suits would be awesome. And to change the color.
I would love to change the bulkiness.
Change the color scheme. Yeah, modify them. Me, I don't really care too much about how my character looks, but I know a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And if I can give Andrasia a pretty hot space suit, I'm going to.
I just thought of WoW and what we put people in, and WoW, and you building a suit for that.
Yeah.
or Borderlands, when you have the choice to get, what's her name, her armor.
Which one?
Skeeter's lady.
Oh, gosh, yes. In the DLC, Tekken Dragon Keep. Oh,
yeah,
my lord.
Yeah, I got her the Skimpy outfit.
Or the full outfit. Those of you who pick Skimpy are sick.
I just wanted to see what it looked like.
Right. Yeah, I did too. I had to do it. I think I played that expansion four or five times.
So we're going to cut away back onto topic here and talk about Mossy's expansion idea so I can get that picture out of my head.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. Knock it out.
Mossy says he'd like to see a Frontier DLC and focusing on list. It would have more building and hab stuff, some Frontier justice in the form of a story based off of the Bounty Hunters Guild and the Trackers Alliance. Maybe detailing the difference between them, It could come with the ability to take prisoners and use those brigs, the most useless component on a ship. Maybe have a survival mode option. So his is more all about the outpost building and the settlement building.
That could be a more of a minor sub DLC.
Yeah.
Not an expansion, but a sub DLC. That would actually not be too difficult to implement something like that, really.
And actually make the most useless hab on the ship useful.
Yeah.
I use it because it's for RP purposes, but you can't put people in it and stuff, and it's like, why not?
So we want to hear your guys' ideas too. If you have good ideas, you can email us your ideas. If it's good, we'll bring it up on the show. Or if you go into content for the show under our Starfield category on Discord, put that there. Even Starfield general chat's fine too. Just tag it as your idea for a DLC or expansion. We want to know. I think that's a great topic to really get into, especially with the first DLC looming in the not too far distance.
Ish.
So the The last thing I want to bring up is Anna. Welcome
to the fam.
Yeah. She's one of our new people in the Discord. And they said, how many hours in game does everyone here have? They are sitting currently at 520 hours. And they continue to say, Starfield is probably my favorite video game of all time. Yeah. It's definitely in my top five for sure.
Yeah, mine too.
Obviously, I still play it a lot, and I still I love doing the show.
I just haven't had time to play it, so that's the only reason why I haven't played it.
Yeah, I get that, man.
I mean, with the hours me and you put in, 445 and 453, yeah, we like the game.
We were so close in hours, but we're nothing compared. Well, the average was around 400 hours plus.
Yeah.
For most everybody.
Out of everybody, yeah.
There's with two exceptions. One is Illnist, who's a freak of nature and put in over 900 hours.
Venus put in 822 hours.
Yeah, she's a friend. She's a friend with me on X, or not on Xbox app, so I snuck that in. She didn't say it because she's been really busy with stuff, but I snuck that in because 822 hours is excessive. In a good way.
Venus, we miss you in the Discord.
Yeah. Wishing you the best.
Yep. But yeah, both of them are making us look like we got rookie numbers.
I know.
Which is funny because... Yelda's
doubled us.
which is funny because I was calling people at WonderCon rookie numbers because they were only in the hundreds.
Right?
Here comes Illness. Oh, 900 hours. You know, no biggie.
You guys are wimps. You guys are babies. I don't know what you're talking about. I got 900. All right.
Well, we know a good game. The game has really good foundation. Mm. Has a few bugs still, but you can work around those. It's only the lack of communication from Bethesda that makes us worry at times.
Yeah. So here's the skinny of it. Bethesda has an amazing track record for producing amazing content. And the few times where they have produced not the most stellar game, they have fixed it. Every time.
76.
Yeah, great example. That game is a blast now.
Mm-hmm.
It was nearly unplayable in the beginning.
Yeah.
But they listened to everybody, and it was kind of like they didn't have any NPCs or quests or anything like that, and they just left it freeform. I get their idea, what they were trying to accomplish, but it really wasn't something I would have picked as a good content idea, especially for Fallout.
Not the way they did it.
Right. But then they took it and they said, okay, we're listening to everybody. And they revamped it. Now you got NPCs, you got quests. The environment's a whole lot less toxic. You don't have people trying to kill you and take all your stuff every 10 seconds. I don't think I've ever got killed by a single player once when I played it for 80 hours.
At the very beginning, I got killed by a player, and that's because I accidentally shot him while trying to kill something and almost killed him. So I was like, kill me. That's my fault. Take the bounty.
That makes sense. Yeah. Everything I saw in the game, everyone was working together. If I needed help, people came and helped.
Mm-hmm.
So they completely flipped it around and made it an amazing game. And I think they're going to do the same thing with Starfield. I'm not saying it's a bad game by any stretch of the word. I love this game, clearly. But it could always be better. And I think Bethesda's the ones that can do that.
I'm trying to remember because I played Fallout 76 from launch. I actually pre-ordered.
Yeah, and I avoided it when I saw the early reviews.
Yeah, I don't listen to early reviews for that reason because I've played some games that I thought were amazing and the early reviews were horrible because I have different tastes in games than some of the reviewers.
Right.
But I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it and I'm like, yes, Fallout 76 didn't, they were talking, but not nearly as much as you heard them on Fallout 4, Fallout 3, Fallout, no, those are the three, or any of the Skyrims or Elder Scrolls game. Starfield's not much quieter than Fallout 76 was upon release from Bethesda. So they have to be focusing on creating something.
I am personally excited for the future of this game. They have such an amazing foundation in this game that they can take it to the stars and beyond, you know?
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing.
They could, yeah, they can turn this game completely around and be, have a bigger player base than they ever even started with.
I'm telling you, what's going to happen is we're going to get a 200 gigabyte almost expansion, and they're just going to completely redo the engine.
Oh, gee, I don't know if they'll redo the engine. That's a whole different... They need to hire an additional 100 programmers to pull that off. You never know, but yeah, I think we're in for some amazing stuff. And what else was I going to say? I had a good train of thought, and I completely lost it.
It happens.
It does quite frequently with me. It's a problem with getting older.
Yeah, you old man.
Jeez, 45 already.
Hey, anyway. I turned 40 in July, all right?
Yeah, and we're going to do a special little birthday for you. I'm going to throw you over the hill.
Hold on a second.
Or throw you over a hill, one way or the other.
My birthday is the day before we record.
Nice. Oh, right. So, yeah. So, we're excited for the future of this game, and we're going to be here every step of the way to talk to you guys about it and try to build up the community for this. So, we still have a lot of faith in this game, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing.
Even with our little hiccups with our save data.
Yeah.
Occasionally it hiccups and you have to reload a previous save.
I'm back to level 92, so I'm within 10 levels now where I lost.
I'm glad Archon got his main characters back.
And you guys will hear from Archon again in this show, I assure you. And you can always hear him on Raw Nerdy. He's there every week with us. And
always.
If you haven't heard Raw Nerdy, I highly recommend it. We did a whole series on WonderCon that we just finished up last Sunday. A lot of good content there. We even had a long talk about Borderlands and different content for Borderlands as well in the last episode, which was a blast. That just that wasn't even planned. That just came out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah. It was, we come up with show ideas all the time.
Sometimes when we're doing the middle of the show.
I know, right?
That's one thing I love about that show is we kind of fly off the cuff with it.
Well, it's really easy to.
Yeah.
And because it's a general nerdy podcast, we can easily just round it to any fit topic.
And we're going to be bringing people back on the show to talk with us as guest hosts as well. As a reminder, everybody, we might be bringing on a third host again, and it could be one of you guys. Just saying. If you want to come in and guest on the show, let us know. And we'll talk to you and see if it's a good idea and put you on the air.
Yes, very much so. We like talking with our... viewers, listeners, and some of y'all have some really cool stories about your games and stuff, and we love reading or listening to them or talking to y'all about them.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap up tonight's show. This has been episode 37 with your hosts, Rook and Widget.
No.
All right. So if you guys want to, thank you so much. If you guys want to email the show for business requests, things like that, starfieldraw@gmail.com. We always recommend you come on our Discord, discord.gg/rawpodcasts. We have that link on most of our social media, I believe.
Yeah, it's pinned on Facebook for sure. I gotta post it in our Instagram, so I'll probably do that later tonight.
I'm pretty sure it's in our X as well. I'll double check that. So discord.gg/rawpodcasts. You don't have to go on voice chat. We have lots and lots of text chat groups in there, so knock yourself out. Show your pictures, your screenshots. PG and R only. Nothing beyond R.
PG and R. We don't want PG-13.
No, that's too middle ground.
We don't want...
G is way too wimpy, and X is going way overboard.
We're right there on the really violent or the teens can watch it.
Our Facebook is Raw Podcast because our overall podcasting group is Raw Podcast. So there you go. Our Instagram.
Our Instagram, like I mentioned, we have one, is Raw Podcast 1. It is currently called Raw and Nerdy because that is generally all the nerdy stuff we put on there. But we also will share our Starfield stuff and all that good jazz.
Yeah, we have a dedicated X toward for Starfield, and that's at Starfield Raw, as well as our overall podcasting one is at Raw Podcast Raw. They wouldn't let us use Raw Podcast.
Somebody else took it before us.
Yeah, those bums. You can follow us individually as well. I am at The Widget, THEWIGIT on X, and not Facebook. Don't even try finding me on Facebook. I never touch that stuff. But on Instagram, I'm Author Widget. all the gaming platforms, like Xbox, Steam, all that, at the widget.
For me, all my gaming platforms outside of Steam and X are Tomcat213. Steam and X, you'll find me at Rook213.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. It's been a blast, as always, and you will hear from Rook and I again next week.
Have a good night, everybody.
Just had to.
I had to.